My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, just a little announcement before I begin. I encourage you to go into your parish internet site and listen to all the wonderful homilies that Father Tom and Father Eric have given here to refresh yourself, especially the ones on Lent and preparing for Lent. Sometimes we forget and need to be renourished. Someone gave me a little note. They identified it as a prayer, which they had found. It went like this. Dear God, please help me to lose some weight this Lent. And if you can't help me to become thin again, then make all my friends fat. Now, that little note contains so much about the rivalry in our interpersonal relationships. We should be encouraging each other, not dragging each other down. I don't think you could call this a prayer at all. It confuses in its humor and speaks of envy. A stout person approached the curé of Ars, the patron saint of priests and the pastor of a village in France called Ars, and asked him what they needed to reduce in size. And with a twinkle in his eye, he replied, about 3 lengths. Maybe I've told you that one before. A group of university students were home for a break, and they were gabbing loudly. And one young man jokingly declared, I'm giving up pot for Lent. In the other room watching television was a 9-year-old boy and his mom. They could hear the conversation from where they were sitting. And the boy said, Mom, I have heard about marijuana, but what about Lent? What is Lent? Brothers and sisters, it seems like we are losing the disciplines of traditional society and sadly the knowledge of our faith very rapidly. What is Lent? Many people don't know. In terms of Lenten discipline, let us make a decision today to restart our deprivations and give up some of those things we don't really need in society's warped sense of what brings us happiness. For instance, downsizing might be in order. Do we need all that stuff? The system we live in teaches us to compete for the most of everything. Let us be the example of God's love in us to all our fellow beings in the world. On a more challenging note, 50 years ago, Pierre Burton wrote a book called The Comfortable Pew. And although geared to the Protestant family of our Christian faith, it applies to us too. We like coming here on Sundays for camaraderie and to help us realize that we are not alone in our beliefs. And we leave with a warm, fuzzy feeling because we have visited Jesus. It makes us somewhat content. But sisters and brothers, we are the tip of the spear. Don't hide like Adam and Eve when you leave today. Father Tom and Father Eric need our help to evangelize. And Jesus gives us great encouragement in today's readings as he explains himself as the living water. This way of Jesus and his example is what we drink up to help us nourish ourselves and to turn and help others. In today's good news, we hear much about water with life. We see Moses striking the rock face and a spring of water gushing out, which satisfies his thirsty people. We also hear about God's love being poured into our hearts like water through the Holy Spirit. Parents pour their love into their children. Our very planet and the life on it would die without water, both H2O and spiritual water. When talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But the one who drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty." And then the woman says, "I know you are the Messiah who is coming." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Yes, Jesus is speaking to all of us here, not just the Samaritan woman, all of us. So what can we do in response? What can we do to help others who are thirsty for the living God and don't know it? We call this evangelization. We can do several things. Number one, prayer. As you pray and meditate at night, say to yourself as you practice your relationships in your imagination, say, "How can I help you? What can I do to make life better?" Ask for the answers to the 5 W's. Any reporter would ask, who, when, where, what, and why, and sometimes how. Ask God to help you overcome any prejudice or strong judgment you may have demonstrated. And turn all your worries and concerns over to Him, the living water, especially for family members who have drifted away. Remember, even Jesus had difficulty encouraging those in His own hometown of Nazareth. One problem is that others and our loved ones probably know our sins better than we do. It is hard to inspire others when we do not give an example of what we preach, and others won't forgive. Our consistent example of doing good and avoiding evil is vital. Number two, reparation. Try to help make up for the injustice or the discrimination or downright cruelty shown to some people in our society. Remember that we all have a soul which will be judged. We have the right to defend ourselves only after we have exhausted all avenues of goodness, and maybe we can humble ourselves and apologize to others and start all over again. Even nations who have been at war will eventually reconcile with each other. And number three of what we can do to help our thirsty friends is patience. We can change the picture overnight. We can't do that for someone else. Use patience. But patience does not mean waiting for someone else to start. Ask people who have left us to ask you why you have stayed loyal to your faith. A good answer is important here, and we all have them. So polish up your answers of why you have stayed. Patience is a virtue which takes time and practice and love. If relationships get too hard to deal with and are making you sick with worry, turn that person over to God, saying, "Lord, this situation seems too big for me to handle. Will you take it for a while?" Patience and persistence eventually pay off and bring conclusions to our concerns and peace to the soul. Number four is sacrifice. Evangelization will demand some sacrifice on our part. Unite your sacrifice with the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And may Jesus give every one of us the courage, the strength, and the light of grace of his living water to encourage our brothers and sisters who have drifted away to seek the living water for themselves through the example of our faith practice. This means interaction with others, especially our loved ones, and you must be the one to reach out. As you come up to receive communion with a smile on your face this evening and say Amen, which means I believe you are Jesus, quietly say to yourself when you go down the aisle to your seat, Jesus, I love you. Help me to be your evangelist. Remember, the love of God is truth, and Jesus is the nourishing water when the desert appears before us. God bless you.